Please join me in prayer.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. New and improved. According to one internet analysis, the expression new and improved is anachronistic, oxymoronic, hucksterism. Anachronistic because it is said to be an old term used by old people. Oxymoronic because if something has not existed before, then it cannot be improved. And hucksterism, because such claims frequently are only hype. What is new is not always better. If you have ever suffered through something such as a software upgrade, then you know that the change often can be, in fact, a downgrade. No offense to Ben or anyone else who works on software. In today's gospel reading, when Jesus taught in a Capernaum synagogue, those in attendance were astonished at his teaching as one who had authority. And when he cast out an unclean spirit, those in attendance were amazed at what they called his new teaching with authority. Commentators today debate whether the people's astonishment and amazement and the resulting fame of Jesus that spread everywhere was positive or negative. The unclean spirit had clearly identified who Jesus was, but nevertheless, the people were questioning among themselves. They're calling Jesus' teaching new. Could have been they're calling it strange. And still today, in theology, the general principle is that teaching that is new probably is teaching that is false. In many cases, at least at first, we are appropriately skeptical of things that we hear taught or preached that we have not heard taught or preached before. Today's gospel reading picks up where last week's gospel reading left off. In last week's gospel reading, we heard Jesus preaching that the time was fulfilled and the kingdom of God was at hand, so people should both repent of their sin and believe the gospel. And Jesus, no doubt, was teaching the same thing in today's gospel reading. In a sense, there was nothing new and improved in simply calling people to repent and believe. As God's prophets long had both identified God's people's sin and pointed to faith in God as their only salvation. And the Jewish leaders taught with authority that even Jesus recognized, and their disciples apparently also cast out demons. So there was really nothing new and improved in those regards either. For us, whatever was new to the people in the Capernaum synagogue that day in today's gospel reading is already some 2,000 years old. And God's Old Testament teaching is, in terms of chronology, even older. Some people, maybe even you, might consider God's law old and out of date. A couple's living together outside of marriage. Homosexuality, transgenderism, those cannot still be wrong in today's day and age, can they? You may regard doctrine, that is teaching, in some way to be a dirty word, may be blaming the teaching and its practice for the division that it brings between those who hold them to be true and those who hold them to be false. In today's gospel reading, the unclean spirit obeyed Jesus' rebuke. Jesus is telling the spirit to be silent and to come out of the man. God's word has the same authority that God has. And you and I owe God's word the same obedience that the unclean spirit gave Jesus. And yet, too often, we disobey. We are, by nature, sinful and unclean. And so on our own, we cannot come into contact with our holy God. Because of our sinful nature and all of our actual sin, we deserve to be cast into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But because of God's great love for us, he calls and thereby enables us to repent and believe and so be saved for Jesus' sake. There may not have been anything new and improved in the simple call to repent and believe. But what surely was new and improved in Jesus's calling people to repent and to believe were his not merely repeating what God the Father had told him to say as previous prophets had done, but instead his speaking with the personal authority of the Son of God, his pointing to himself as the fulfillment of what those previous prophets had said, and so his personally enacting the deeds that they had prophesied that the Savior would do. There may have been a perception that there no longer were any prophets. And Jesus was the prophet like Moses, promised in today's Old Testament reading. But Jesus was more than like Moses. As the unclean spirit in today's gospel reading said, Jesus was the Holy One of God, as the Holy Spirit had come upon the Virgin Mary and the power of the Most High had overshadowed her. Jesus, no doubt, taught with authority that the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil, an enmity that essentially goes back to the beginning. Jesus is casting out the unclean spirit, anticipates Jesus is defeating the devil on the cross. The unclean spirit knew who Jesus was, but that knowledge alone did not help him. When we are sorry for our sins and trust God to forgive us because Jesus died on the cross for us, then God does forgive us. God forgives us our sinful nature, our sins of previously disregarding his word and disobeying its authority, and all of our other actual sins, whatever our actual sins might be. As we sang in today's psalm, the fear of or faith in the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We believe, teach, and confess that Jesus Christ has, among other things, purchased and won us from the power of the devil with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. In today's gospel reading, the people in the Capernaum synagogue on the Sabbath likely were remembering the Sabbath, keeping it holy by letting God work through them in them, rather, through his word, in order to make them holy. And truly, Jesus came in might and in mercy, at least drawing them into fellowship with him in his kingdom as he overcame the power opposed to his kingdom. Likewise, we come seeking and receiving God's forgiveness of sins in the ways that he promises to give them to us, namely through his means of grace, his word, and his sacraments. In holy baptism, by the word with water, unclean spirits are made to depart and make room for the Holy Spirit as we are rescued from the devil. In holy absolution, by the word and the pastor's touch, the authority that God gave to men in order to forgive our sins is exercised for us. Doubted by people then and now, and seemingly despised by others by their non-use. And in the Holy Supper, the word with bread and wine that we receive, through them we receive the body of Christ given for us and the blood of Christ shed for us, the New Testament in his blood. By his word and sacraments, God transforms us. The people in the Capernaum synagogue may have been questioning among themselves, but we do not need to do so. God enables us to at least want to have the right regard for his word and obey his authority. When at first we have been appropriately skeptical of things that we have heard, taught, or preached that we had not heard, taught, or preached before, we judge the teaching or preaching by Holy Scripture and the Lutheran confessions in order to see whether the teaching and preaching is true or whether what we personally think and believe is true. And we adopt or adapt our personal beliefs as necessary. As St. Paul described in today's epistle reading, we take care that our right as Christians does not somehow become for our weaker brothers or sisters in Christ something that causes them to fall either into sin or from faith. We speak and act in such ways that Jesus' true fame spreads everywhere. And when we fail in these or in other ways, as we will fail, with daily sorrow over sin, and trust in God to forgive us for Jesus' sake, we live in his forgiveness of sins. Whether or not the expression new and improved is, as was suggested, anachronistic, oxymoronic hucksterism, the Lord Jesus' teaching that day in the Capernaum synagogue in today's gospel reading was, in some sense, new and improved, both for the people then and for us today. As we sang in today's psalm, the Lord has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The works of his hands are faithful and just. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.